Listen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 181, stanzas 1 through 4. Blessed be the Lord, for us he cares, and daily all our burden bears. Our God is mighty, strong to save. Jehovah frees us from the grave. 1 through 4 of 181.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, there of the 14th chapter, John 14. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, we have heard it out of thy holy word, and that has come out of thy own mouth unto thy disciples, that if thou shouldest ask anything in my name, I will do it. And Lord, thou knowest what we need. Oh, we desire to ask it of thee, even in this hour, that we must ask what is according to thy revealed will, what is according also to thy own good pleasure. And dost thou not teach us to ask for those things that we cannot give unto ourselves? O thou didst give such a day of great gladness in the life of thy people on that day of the resurrection of thy dear and only begotten Son. And Lord, all we do ask thee that we, each and every one of us, may receive the fruits of that resurrection. And we do ask of thee, Lord, and that thou would include us therein, who have excluded ourselves in paradise, who have fallen dead in sins and in trespasses, and who cannot give that life unto ourselves, that all comes from thee. And we do ask of thee, Lord, may it be with all our hearts, though that we are so unworthy of all of thy notice or of thy attention, and that thou may remember each and every one, young and old, that thou wouldst remember us in thy name, in the name of thy dear and only begotten Son, that thou wouldest look upon us in that sacrifice that he has made, when he has given his own life. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, that we may be partakers of his resurrection, and that we may be gladdened with thy deeds, even as thou hast gladdened thy disciples on that day. O thou knowest the heart of each one of us. It is that which clings unto sin and to this world and to everything that is carnal. And we cannot give to ourselves one true cry, not even a sigh, or a sigh for a sigh, being so on the outside of that life. But when thou wilt come with thy Spirit as thou hast promised unto thy disciples, then it will become so different with us and with our children. Lord, wilt thou do it for thy great and for thy holy name's sake? And thou didst say that the hour is coming and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, may we hear thy voice, Lord, in our hearts, and that internal calling, and that is coming in the way of the preaching, and that thou dost command us to do. And it is by the foolishness of preaching, because we cannot give anything to ourselves, not a word to speak, but when thou wilt give it in our mouth, as thou hast promised it unto us, then it shall be quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, show us our iniquity. Show us our wretchedness. Thy servant did say, weeping and may endure for a night. But we read in thy word that there shall be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth that shall endure to all eternity. It shall never stop. And if we do nothing but rejoice in all our vanity in this world, and then we shall become partakers of that weeping, of that eternal weeping. But give us to weep, Lord, in this world, and give us a true godly sorrow, because that weeping lasts only for a night. Only for a night in this world, though it be many years, then it is but a night, because joy cometh in the morning. And when thou dost come, and then thou takest away all the weeping, and thou wipest away all the tears from the eyes of thy people, and we may commemorate it in this day, the day of the resurrection of thy dear and only begotten Son, what we commemorate every Sabbath day, the first day of the week. But on this Sabbath day, in a special way, in the order of thy church, oh, that we may meditate upon that great wonder that thou hast performed, and what has been received of the Father, by the Father, that it may be on behalf of thy church. Oh, take reasons then out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy this day. Bless us from above and with heavenly and with spiritual blessings, that we do not seek by nature, not young or old, that thou may look upon our children and our youth. Oh, give them those blessed desires in the days of their youth after the true and the living God, because those shall be fulfilled in their season when it is pleasing thee to lead them in those blessed truths of thy dear and only begotten Son, and of that grace that thou hast purchased for a sin-laden church, that thou may remember those that have become old under the preaching of thy word, and that still must confess that they miss it. O Lord, is it not a day of the resurrection of the dead? O, give them a cry today in thy house of prayer, that may go up and be heard in the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, and urge and cry, And because this life comes to an end, oh, could it be, and that even the old knees may truly learn to bow, and the hands to fold, and the heart to cry, in all the need and in all the urgency and in all the impossibility and all the poverty and all the guilt and all the sin and all the corruption, that whole life that now lays behind them. And what can they say that it has been but a life of carnality and vanity and the seeking of all that is in this world? And then they are must say that they are so unworthy. Oh, could it be that thou may open unto such ones that new and living way, that new foundation, wherein also such ones may be received into that kingdom of heaven? Oh, make it easy for them, Lord. Open their eyes that they may see, and that they may rejoice with in the rejoicing of thy people, that thou may remember all of us, life, fathers, mothers, each one in our place in this world is so busy. Satan draws us away. Oh, make us to come at thy footstool. Oh, give us a little separation at each and every day to meditate and to seek and to search and to pray that there may be a need born in our hearts and that we could not let thee go except thou bless us and our children. Give wisdom in the bringing up of children. Give gladness unto those also who have no children. Remember those that are not married and for whom that could be a burden. Remember all other burdens. Remember sick and afflicted, widows, widowers, orphans, those that have needs of the mind, those that have needs of the body. An accident in our community in this morning hour, wilt thou supply for them also when thou hast spared the lives? And humble us under thy goodness. Remember those that have received surgeries, that received treatments, relatives also of some in our midst. Lord, this life that is so full of all the consequences of our sins, and thou art so good and so gracious, even in a natural way, for all the miseries that we have brought on ourselves. Oh, that men may experience that goodness, and that it may lead us all to a true repentance. Wilt thou remember us in this hour? Give a little freedom, Lord. Open thy holy word. Give to us strength, give to us wisdom and clarity in these difficult matters. Give ears to hear, give hearts to understand. Wilt thou make it simple for us? Oh, just one word from heaven, because thou didst speak in parables, that it was hidden from the wise and the prudent, and it was revealed unto the babes. Oh, make us babes, Lord. Make us cry and to weep today as a little baby over our iniquities. And then we are in a good place. And then we are in a place and that there is a grace for. Oh, take reasons out of thyself. Be with all that listen by church telephone. And wilt thou gladden us with thy deeds, forgiving all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 77, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered, to glory or my fall. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 77. Beloved congregation, for whom is the hope of Easter? That is, for the dead. Our life is our most prized possession. Isaiah said to Jeremiah, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." That message is coming sooner or later to each and every one of us and to our children. We read that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept. Life is our most prized possession. But what is life? Because we can have breath and we can have a beating heart. But the Ephesians had that also. When the Apostle Paul said to them that they were dead. Thus we may have our natural life and yet be dead. There are people in this world who believe that if we have pain and have suffering in our body or in our life, that that is no life. Then they say, it is better that I die. But we read, young people, that the Lord says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Do you ever feel that? As you try to live in pleasure in the midst of this world, that you carry within you death? What does the Lord Jesus say that life is? He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. Thus he says, life is knowledge, that they might know. That they might know thee. Thus life is to know God. That is not, young people, that knowledge that we can learn by the reading of books, even of doctrine. No, then it is speaking about more than that. It is speaking about an experiential knowledge. There is an inclusion of the entire soul in that knowledge that is also of the affections. That is also of the will. Thus, that is a knowledge actually of a relation. A good relation. That is a relation of favor. That is with thee, the only true God. That is a relation that we forsook. It is a relation we had. It is a relation we left in paradise. You ever look back? You ever look back to paradise? Do you ever look back as the prodigal son looked back? When he looked back in his life and he saw from whom that he had departed? And when he desired to return again to him whom he had departed from, What is our life, congregation, without this? Our fathers say it is nothing but a continual death. Rebecca said to her husband, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Are you ever weary of your life because of the daughters of Heth? Because of the daughters of this world? Because it is all vanity and corruption and carnality in your heart and in this world? Oh, do you ever desire that life that you lost? Our text for this special Sabbath day can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 14. The last part of verse 19, John 14, the last part of verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. So far the words of our text. Christ's pledge to his church. First, concerning his life, he says, because I live. And second, concerning their life, he says, ye shall live also. Christ pledged to his church, first concerning his life, and second concerning their life. These words, congregation, were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples before that he died. As he was going toward death, as he was going unto death, into death, and as his disciples were following him, as his disciples were clinging unto him, then the Lord Jesus began to speak about the future. So the things that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here are things that were laying in the expectation. What is going to happen in the future? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. Thus all that is going to happen in the future, and thus these are things that are lying in their expectation. And when the Lord Jesus is speaking, and then there is a stirring. You ever have that too? When the minister is speaking, or when you are reading the word or reading what is based on that word, that there is a stirring in your heart. Oh, you cannot make your heart to stir. I can't do that either. But there are means for that. And when we have no stirring in our heart, and when we are using those means that the Lord is giving, then we see that the Lord, he begins to move. He begins to move with his spirit, and he is moving also in the life, in the heart of his disciples, as the Lord Jesus is speaking about those things that are in the future. We read, show us the Father. Oh, then there is a longing. Show us the Father. That is a longing for the knowledge of God. They do not want to know just in their minds about the Father. No, no, he says, show us the Father. He wants to see. Can we see, boys and girls, the Father? You say, no, the Father is a spirit. He cannot be seen. How is it that the Lord Jesus hears, show us the Father? Is it because his disciples are ignorant that God is a spirit? No, no. But they want a different kind of sight, don't they? They want a sight not with their natural eyes, but they want to see in their hearts. They want a spiritual sight in their soul. They want to have entrance into the blessedness of the things of the kingdom of God. Oh, do you say that also? When you come up to the house of the Lord, that you say, Lord, open my eyes now that I may see. Oh, show us the Father. The Lord Jesus is not an end in himself. No, he is the mediator. Thus the Lord Jesus is bringing his church unto the Father. He brings his church into a relation. He restores a relation. The relation once again with the Father. He makes that Father known. He shows that Father. Oh, do we have such a desire? Because if the Lord gives us a new life, then we have a desire to know God. To know God. But congregation, that people that are given such a desire do not realize that the fulfillment of that desire is so much greater, is so much richer than they even realize, than they are even asking for. When they are asking after God, and then the Lord, he is going to answer that, because, boys and girls, remember that the Lord Jesus says, ask and you shall receive. Will that happen? It will happen. Do you begin when you are little? Do you begin to ask? Do you say, I will ask my whole life if only I may receive this? And then you begin to ask for God. And what does the Lord give to his people? He gives them to see not only God, but he gives them to see God as their Father. Thus, the riches and everything that is to be received by the people, that is so much more bountiful. There are so many more riches that are in it than they can even imagine. And that is even living in their cry. All the riches that the Lord has laid away for his church, that is what no man actually knows. The Lord Jesus says, I go to my Father, and he is giving parting instructions to his disciples, just like a father who would be lying on a deathbed. And then he is gathering his children around him, and he is saying to his children, what is now most important to remember when he is gone, that will always stay in their mind. Do you listen, boys and girls, to your father before that he is on his deathbed? And to listen to your mother? Oh, one day, you may not have a father anymore. And you may not have a mother anymore. And oh, how you shall desire that you could hear one word yet from your father. One word yet from your mother. Here the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples when he is going to go away from them. And then he says to them, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And we can read other instructions that the Lord Jesus has given to them, and that he said like that they must love one another. The Lord Jesus, he says that I die, but he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That means that he will rise again. But further, he promises to send them his Spirit even after his ascension, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he is working expectation here in the heart of his disciples in a time when there are so many discouragements in the heart of the disciples, discouragements in the world, discouragements that are in their temporal life. And as the Lord Jesus is now going unto death, then he is speaking to his disciples about life, and giving them an expectation as he goes into death. Shall we stop here just a moment? What is now our expectation? Do we also have an expectation? When we are going to go into death, is there any expectation left? Or on our deathbed, then is all the expectation of our heart coming to an end? That it has only to do with everything that is passing away in this world. Oh, has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? The Lord Jesus here speaks to his disciples about life at the time of death. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But he says, ye see me. How is that? When Christ dies, now the world will see him no more. You say, well, what about the disciples? They can't see him either when he dies, right, boys and girls? We would say, no. No, they can't see him either. But that is not what the Lord Jesus says. He says just the opposite. He says, yes. He says, but ye see me. The world sees me no more, but ye see me. What does that mean? Well, they shall see him. After his resurrection, they shall see him. And he is not going to show himself unto the world, but he is going to appear unto his own that love him and that desire to keep his commandments. But ye shall see me. That is true, but there is more. Because the Lord Jesus does not only say that ye shall see me, but he says that ye see me, ye do see me. Thus he speaks about a spiritual sight. Oh, he says the world has neither part nor lot in this matter. Oh, but ye see me. The world's sight is carnal. They only see the world, they only see the body, and they had no desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they have put him out of this life. At least they thought so. And now the Lord Jesus says, here's the great distinction. Here's the distinction between you, my disciples, and the world. That when there is no seeing me anymore in this world, their sight is gone, and that is their judgment. But he says, your sight, that does not go away. Because your sight of me is different. Because you have been given a sight of me that the world is not able to see. Do you believe, congregation, that all the sights that are in this world, that we can see with our eyes, They are soon going to be gone. They're soon going to be gone when our eyes are closed and we are laid in that grave. Or when the heavens are rolled together as a scroll and all the elements here are burnt up with a fervent heat, then everything that we have laid our eyes on and our desires on in the midst of this world are going to be completely gone. And then there is only one sight that is going to remain. And that is the sight of the soul. Those sights never pass away, but ye see me. You say, does not he die? Yes, that is what he said. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. How then does his people see him? That is what we read in our text when he says, because I live. Not only will he live, but he says, because I do live. He will live again in his body. He will live again in his human nature. But he does live. He lives in his soul. He lives in his divine nature. Thus that enduring nature of that spiritual sight of his people that is coinciding with the enduring existence and life of the Lord Jesus Christ in his divinity and in his soul, because I live. No, he says, that can never change. That is eternally true. It was never true that I did not live and that the Father did not live and that the Spirit did not live. And it never will be true that the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost shall cease to live. He is the eternal, the unchangeable being. Because I live. And now that because, what word is in there? Cause, because. Thus he says that is a cause of something. That is a cause actually of everything, isn't it? That life of God, that is the cause of all the life that is in this world, that is the cause of the existence of this whole world. There is a testimony of that in the heart of every single man in this world, in his conscience, when he is just thinking back to say, what is the beginning of this world, and going further and further, what has caused all the material, and he says there must be a first cause, and that cause had to be eternal, it had to be there, it had to be always living. Because I live. That is not the extent of what the Lord Jesus is speaking about. No, he is speaking here about more. And we see that in our second thought concerning their life. Because I live, and not only does he live, but he also shall live. That is, after he dies, he shall live again. And This living again, he declares to be another cause, because I live. Thus, first, he is the cause of life original, we would say. The life of the world, that is the creation of the world. He says when the Father made the world and set the foundations of the world, he says, I was there. Thus, he is also the creator of the world with his Father. But now there is another life. That is not the creation. There is a life which is from the dead. From the dead. That is another matter. That is entirely, congregation, a different thing than the creation. That is the resurrection. The resurrection. And the resurrection needs another cause. Because I live. There was nothing to hinder the creation of the world. What did the creation of the world take? Well, that took wisdom and that took power. That is the wisdom of God and the power of God. But there is more that is necessary for the resurrection of the dead. And why is that? It is because the resurrection does not only need power, but in order for the resurrection to take place, then it was necessary to have a right unto that resurrection. And why is that necessary? Because death is the administration of justice. And so when a man is in the prison, we can have the power to get him out, but the right to get him out is something else. The right to get him out has first to be given. And that right to get him out needs to come from the judge. It needs to be done in a legal way. If that man is rightly delivered from his punishment. Do you understand what is then contained in this? When the Lord Jesus says here, because I live, the resurrection of Christ is the evidence of his legal acquittal. Of his legal acquittal by his Father, by the judge, by his Father who has laid on him the iniquity of his church. And in the resurrection, then we have the evidence that that Father has declared him acquitted. And therefore in him, because the sin, the iniquity of his church was laid on him, and because that was the very cause for which that he has come into death, then the resurrection of Christ is also that same evidence that that church is completely acquitted and declared to be so by that very judge to whom they are accountable. Thus, that receipt is given for that church of God in the resurrection of Christ. There they have, as it were, the proof that every iniquity has been paid completely to the satisfaction of that judge. So that judge has delivered them from all that punishment and released them from the prison and has released them from the punishment, has released them from death. Therefore, he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Thus, the very ground, the cause, the very ground, the foundation of the life of the church has now changed. The ground and the foundation for their existence, for their life, is now changed. What was the foundation? What did it change from? Our young people know that. What did the Lord say to Adam? He said, do this and thou shalt live. That was the foundation. That was the basis of their life and the continuation of their life, their own obedience. Do this and thou shalt live. That is that first covenant. Are you still in that first covenant? Are you still in that first covenant? Because if we are still in that first covenant, that is now the basis for our life. Our obedience. And if we have never been regenerated, that means we are still in that first covenant. But what is now the first fruit that is flowing out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the regeneration of His church. That is a new birth. That is a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Because I live, ye shall live also. And congregation, in that moment, that church is taken off of that foundation that they were on. And they were placed by the Lord upon a new foundation. Who is doing that? The judge is doing that. He is placing them on a new ground. And then it is no more the old ground. It is no more a broken covenant. Then it is no more for that people. Do this. And thou shalt live. What is it now? The Lord Jesus says what that is. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, do you see that new ground? Oh, that new life is now standing upon a new ground. What does that mean? That there is no disobedience that is able to take away the life of the people. There is no sin that is able to deprive them of that life. Why not? Because they are not standing on that ground anymore. They have been taken off of that ground. Paul says, our life is hid with Christ in God. See where they are standing? They're standing on a firm foundation. They are standing, their life is hid with Christ in God. It is standing upon the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, that resurrection from the dead. That is now one of the greatest comforts of the true church of God. Because as long as He is alive, they shall live. Or if it was not for this, their life that would be always hanging in the balance. But their life is not hanging in the balance anymore. Because their life is now based and founded and grounded upon an immovable and a firm rock. Let us sing thereof. 320, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold. and that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1, 2, 3, and 5 of 320.
Thank you.
Because I live, ye shall live also. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about the application, that is, the application of his own work, the application of his own sacrifice, the application of his own death, the application of his own resurrection. And what is that? That is life. That is life for his church. What kind of life? Is that now just carnal life? Well, the world has that. The world has carnal life. The world has a vain life. The world has a natural life because of the common grace of God. Thus, that is not what Christ has merely bought for his people. No, but it is a spiritual life. And it is a life we heard before of seeing. What does John say? In him was life, and the life was the light. The life was the light of men. Thus he speaks about light in our soul. He speaks about life in our soul. That is the application of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have life in our soul? Is there light in our soul? Religion is not life. I think we all know that. Because we can come and go from the house of the Lord with a heart that is as hard as the nether millstone. And that religion in itself, it is a means. But that religion in itself is not able to give to us that life. You feel that? That it is not able to give to you that light. There were so many Jews who were very, very religious. And they have never breathed the first breath of spiritual life. Thus are we asking the Lord in the use of the means that he may give to us what those means were designed to work. Do you remember what that life was, young people? We spoke about it before. What the Lord Jesus says that that life is. He says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. That is life. That is life. And that is light. Thus, is there life? Is there light in our soul? And do we desire that? Or are we just like one of the world that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here, who says, once the carnal things are not there anymore, well, then they cannot see anymore. Then we are missing that life. Then we are missing it. Does that grieve us? Because that life is still to be gotten. It is still to be received. That is why we commemorate Easter, to say that the Lord is alive and that there is life that is to be had in our soul, and that is commemorated every Sabbath day again when we come up the first day of the week in commemoration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we come up with a cry in our heart to say the Lord is risen indeed? But now I also need to be risen and to receive that life in my soul. That life is a life that was bought. It was bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is life eternal. It has a beginning here in the world, but it has no end. And thus, when we come upon our deathbed, then there is still an expectation. Because that is going with us. It is going with us through that trial, through that river? Oh, what have we then in this life if we have not this life, if we have not this life of faith? It is a seeing by faith. It is a receiving by faith. It is, the Lord says, a knowing because faith, he says, is the evidence of things that are not seen, that is, with the carnal eyes. We cannot see them with the carnal eyes, but there is evidence of those same things that we cannot see with our carnal eyes, evidence of those things in our heart. And if you have evidence of something in the world, then you say it is true, because the evidence is right there. And now if you have evidence of those things in your heart, then you also say, and it is true, I know it in my heart. Do you ever say that too? About the truth? About the Word of God? Did the Lord ever convince you in your soul by a new life that all those things that are being spoken about in that holy Word of God are the truth? John Bunyan tried to show that with his pilgrim. Then he received light. He had a book in his hand, right, boys and girls? How often do you have that book in your hand? How often do you have that book in your hand? And when he had that book in his hand, then the Lord gave him new life. And he gave him light. Then he had evidence in his heart of the truth of God. Truth of God. And that what the Lord says in the Word of God is coming to pass and shall come to pass. And what did he say? I have to die. You ever have that light? I have to die. And then he said, also after I die, then I don't die like an animal. But after I die, I have to stand before God. What is that? Life. That is faith. Faith. True saving faith. That is by that life that is coming from regeneration, that is flowing out of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other people around him didn't have that. They didn't have sight. They were blind to it. He said, we cannot see that. They mocked him. He said, you must go to bed and rest your mind. No, that was not just in his mind. There was life in his soul. That life in his soul did not allow him to rest. That he had to seek and he had to search until he came in at that wicked gate. And then finally when he came in also, he came up that hill difficulty. And all the difficulties are taken away from him. And then he came up onto that cross. And what did he learn now at that cross? Congregation, there he received knowledge. There he received the knowledge of that one only true God and Jesus Christ whom he had sent. Oh, then he had an entrance there at that cross that he might know him, that he might see him in his righteousness and in his justice and in his mercy and in his grace at the same time. Oh, to receive knowledge, oh, life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Their congregation, the Lord has established him. Has established him on that firm foundation. And then that burden of his guilt, of his sin fell off from his back. What was now the foundation for that deliverance? Where did that burden go? It went down into an open sepulcher. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, then he has established congregation on that foundation. And then all the iniquity that is being cast by the Lord into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Because when it is based upon that open sepulcher, then it is a life that is lived out of the life of Christ. Then it is a people that live. Then it is a people that cannot die. Then there is nothing that is able to come against them, that is able to take away that life that is given unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ. That burden fell in there. And what does now Bunyan say? He says, I saw it no more. Saw it no more. Do you see how the Lord establishes that church upon that firm foundation? That is a great privilege. That it seems not so many people and do actually experience, and yet it is something that is so worthy to be sought, because it is a blessing when that knowledge of him may be so to his honor and to his glory. Because the Lord Jesus says here, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Oh, did you ever, if the Lord has shown you a little of the Son, may the Lord show you also a little of the Father. Because the Son is leading unto the Father, and he is the express image of his Father. And now it is that in the resurrection that the Father is showing himself in the life of his Son and appearing therein unto his people. And what is now more to the comfort of that church in their warfare than the satisfaction of the Father with the obedience of his Son. Not with my obedience, no. With that he can never be satisfied. But that he is now satisfied. And that his justice is put to rest. That sword of wrath is forever and forever put to rest. By the obedience, the active and the passive obedience of his only begotten Son. Oh, what is more a comfort to them as they wait for what? Are you waiting? We're all waiting, aren't we? Because we read many, many times in the Bible, and he died. And he died. And he died. That is, congregation, what we're all now waiting for. How long will you have to wait? How long will you have to wait? When we are spared, then it can be very different. In one moment. Do you know what Job says? He says, I will not live always. He did not desire to live always. He says, let me alone, because my days are vanity. You ever say that? My life here is vanity. You know what Job says? He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And he says, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. That was a comfort to him. Job is still waiting for that. He's still waiting for that. It's been a long time. Because Solomon says the days of darkness shall be many. When we are laid in that grave, and many ages have passed over him now, and now he is waiting for that day. But that day is not going to wait forever. When Job is going to see God in his own flesh, that is guaranteed to the church. It is guaranteed to them by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Sadducees said there is no resurrection. The Athenians mocked, but the Lord Jesus said different. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. That is his promise. That is his promise unto his own people. The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, because the church has to experience persecution and affliction in this world when so much of the world is without it. You say, if their hope is only in this world, then what is it all for? Then we are of all men most miserable. But no. Do you know what the Apostle John says? He says, we shall see him as he is, and we shall see him in his flesh, and we shall see him in the spirit, and then we shall know in that day the power of his resurrection. There the church will be married to him. There the church will be brought into that relation with him. The Bible says there shall be no need of the sun. Why not? Because the Lamb is the light thereof. The congregation, then they shall see. Then they shall see with their eyes. You desire to see, people of the Lord? What do you want to see? Oh, what did Thomas say? Oh, that he wanted to see him. Show us the Father. Show us the Father. And then, oh, then he shall bring that people in. And he shall show them the Father. Say, he is a spirit, that is right. But he shall open to them, as has never been opened in this world, oh, the greatness of that mystery that has been decreed by that Father from that never begun eternity. That such as they are have been brought in to that blessed communion, to be restored into favor with that Father whom they have so offended in paradise and their whole life long. O congregation, what is now our life in this world? Our Father say, a continual death. A continual death. We see it all around us, do we not? Do we seek another life? Our life in this world is short. Our life in this world that is very uncertain. And the life that is coming, that is forever. That is forever. Will you take that home, boys and girls, young people? Will you take that home with you today? That is forever and forever and forever and forever. Never, never stopping. Oh, there is an eternal life to be gained. There is an eternal life to be gained. Oh, what do you do now to gain it? Or do you just say, I forfeit it? I forfeit it in order that I may live a little longer in pleasure in the midst of this world. Then do not blame the Lord. Then do not blame the Lord, because the Lord is not going to receive the blame in the end of our life. But that guilt will be on our account. Congregation, it is Easter. It is Easter. And it is on Easter that there is hope for the dead. Hope for the dead. Are you dead? Oh, then today and every Sabbath day, again, that is coming unto us. What has been prepared and what has been bought from the side of God. Oh, you know what the Apostle Paul says. Do you not know that they which run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? So run, he says, that you may obtain. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy blessed truth. They are things that are so far above our own conception that are to be had. And we are dead in sins and trespasses by nature, but our hope is in thee. O thou sayest, whatsoever thou shalt ask in my name, I will give it you. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may give us life, that life from the dead for us and for our dear children, and that we may not remain in our death state, that it may be to thy honor and to thy glory, and when we will be born again, and when we might learn to magnify and to glorify the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, bless thy word then, this day and each day again. Wilt thou look on us in this week? Help us each one in the labors of our hands. Bless what we may read yet in this evening hour or listen to. And remember our brother who is to be installed in the office next Sabbath day. O Lord, be on his right and on his left when all this is looming before him, and that thou mayst show thyself unto him and us as a congregation in thy mercy. Be with all that travel also in this week. Forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422 stanzas 6 and 8. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. 6 and 8 of Psalter 422. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.